Ah, yeah, this is a lot quieter than the drive time from yesterday. Because, you know, jet lag, I don't know if you guys have ever had it, but they say that for every time zone difference that you travel, so like in the States, you know, you've got your four different time zones, East Coast, West Coast, Atlantic, Pacific, Central, Mountain, like that, and Greenwich Meridian if you're going over England. And yeah, so once you get over to this side, you know, you're plus, Sri Lanka's plus 5.5 from GMT. So there's a good 11 and a half hour difference between the states. So they typically say that it takes about 1 day for every hour time difference that you go for your body to adjust. That's like for you to adjust completely. So some people do it very quickly, some people it takes a little bit longer. Yeah, so I was doing great when I got back to Sri Lanka first couple of days. And third day for me usually seems to be the case. Third day where I go somewhere and all of a sudden, wham, it's like a walking coma. And you're just ready to fall asleep wherever you are. So in a restaurant, what, it doesn't matter. You want to pass out. And, you know, when you wake up in the early mornings as well. So this morning, 4:09 in the a.m. is when my eyes are just like boing, wide awake. And you're not going back to sleep at that stage. So anyways, but I thought, you know, it's a good chance to talk with you guys a little bit too, since it is quiet, very, very quiet in this hour. I noticed from yesterday when I woke up about, actually a little bit later, but things really don't get busy and get loud until just before 7 o'clock in Sri Lanka. And in the mornings, there's beautiful bird noises and crickets and all kinds of things that are, so I don't know if you could hear them in the background. But it's amazing how when everything starts coming awake and alive, the ways that they express that. So yes, good morning, good day, good evening, good night, depending on when and where you check this out. You know, I have to me, it's a pretty cool announcement too. You know, this podcast is now completely brought to you by your fellow listeners as such. We haven't had the need to subsidize it recently. In fact, even the recorder, this is a brand new recorder, you know, you guys made that happen. So we've got the one we've been using for the last 3 years as a backup for a little bit, and machine, everything. Hey, you guys make it possible for you to get this right now, and we still will do our part. But I think it's pretty cool that that there's enough of you out there that you see value in what's going on, and you play a part as God would lead you. You know, we go out of our way, absolutely out of our way, to let people off the hook, where we do not want to merchandise anyone. We do not want to trick, deceive, peddle the gospel like so many are in a custom and a habit to. So, you know, in that process of doing that, basically for us, we believe the scriptures, freely we received and freely we give. And though there may be certain rights that people have in the gospel, they've been thoroughly abused by so many people that are standing up there preaching and guilting others in these days. And it's quite infuriating for those that are actually called to see how God's people and God's sheep are destroyed by these charlatans and by these deceivers and thieves. So for us, we've gone out of our way to make this our service to the body of Christ, and our goal is to give, and our goal is to bless, and our goal is to help, and our goal, is to work for the perfecting of the saints, and to keep this clean. We really, really want this to be clean, and we labor towards that. So, in that, when people pray for us, truly pray for us, not that, 20-second, oh, God bless them, thank you very much. No, when people truly, petition the Father, on behalf of this team and the work that God has us to do, and pray for our protection and for God to continue to strengthen us, when people chip in, it is a blessing and it is a pleasant surprise. And, we're very grateful for that that way that people choose to, because it's something that is not expectation on our side, but for those that are moved in their heart, it's cool because it just gives us a chance to know who is really real. And who really, where there's, just a life principle in general, where there's no investment, there is no appreciation. So, and the flip side of that too is people appreciate what they invest in. So, when you struggle, get a college degree as such, when you, have to work three jobs, when you don't have many things, really helping you in that process, and you fight for it, you value that degree when you finally finish it. Whereas, if you grew up with a silver spoon and everything was just handed to you, and you went to class if you felt like it, you didn't go if you didn't feel like it, it just was just something that was there that you could do with as you want, throw it away as you want. You don't appreciate it. Even if you graduate, you don't appreciate it because you didn't have to struggle for that. It's the same degree as such, but, one took a major investment, and the person had to fight for that. And the other one, the person just was given it. And that's why I think so many... people, children that come from means, get very sloppy and very sad because they don't have to press through. And I think that's also why God so often separates, his children from that for a window, just so that he can burn that expectation, that lack of appreciation out of them. And, the truth of the gospel is that God will take care of your needs. Matthew 6. So, that if you seek first the kingdom that and his righteousness, that he will take care of your needs. So, since you know that, you can trust him in that. You don't have to worry or fret about that. But the process of that, you have to not allow the world to... influence your thinking along those lines, because they definitely will try. Because they're not working like that. For the world, there's not enough to go around, and so they, because it's a zero sum game, a zero sum game for some of you that maybe aren't familiar with the term. It's basically, it just says that there's a certain amount there. And in order for one person to win, somebody else has to lose. And so if you've got, 100 bottle caps on a table, and you've got 50 and 50, in order for me to get 75, I've got to take 25 away from you. It's a closed circle. And so, the way that people prosper is at the expense of someone else. That is the world. That's the way that the world works. And whereas the kingdom and the kingdom of God, people, God creates, God breathes life. You know, his ground produces for his people. He quickens the minds of those that are his, enabling them to create where there was nothing really before. And it's a beautiful thing, you know, and it's also something that is one of our saving graces as far as in the natural, because the world cuts off God's people and seeks to stamp out the light. But God has alternative provision for his. In fact, it's the way that it's supposed to be. And he provides and he creates where there wasn't something for those that are his. So, yes, new equipment. I am trying out a WS-700M Olympus Digital Voice Recorder and a new plug-in ME-15 condenser mic. So this is kind of what I've switched over to. I could have bought up a little bit higher, but, you know, as my brother in Christ, Patrick, said, he said, Govinda, don't overbuy. And, you know, I think a lot of people do that. You know, they overbuy all kinds of stuff. Latest, greatest features, tons of different things, and in the end, they don't know how to use most of it, and they never do. And so, you know, I think this is going to do just great. Extended battery life, which is really nice, and I think the sound quality is going to be getting a little better. So, as we keep moving towards, you know, improving that which God has for us to do. Hey, we'll share it with you. You know, I think one thing we always got to remember is do all things as unto God. Don't do them for the approval of man. Don't do them because it's the expectations of those around you. But do it as unto the Lord. It will change the way that you relate to the circumstances that you face. And it will, again, you know, even back to the studying for your college degree, you will have an appreciation when you do things as unto God versus because it's something that you have to do or because it's expectation. So allow God to speak to you and allow him to direct you. And when you, from the direction that you have from him, when you do different things, different activities, do them as unto the Lord, and allow him to direct it, and there'll be a blessing for you in that. You'll enjoy so much more that which you put your hand to, and you leave the open door in that situation for God to bless what you put your hand to. Yes, so quality versus quantity. Quality versus quantity. You know, it's kind of cool how God speaks to you through so many different things when you're walking with him. You know, the world tries to create all of its sources of information, whereas God, when people are lined up with him, he speaks to you through alternative means. The world works to control very hard, works to control your mind and your thoughts and the way that you perceive situations. But when you break that cycle and you allow the Spirit of God to control your mind, boy, everything changes. And so, you know, I told you guys recently that I've been reading a little Tozer again, and something that I've been thinking about, and there, right there, you're mulling it over after I read it too, was quality versus quantity, and the contrast between what God puts a priority on and what the world puts a priority on. God is focused on quality. the world is focused on quantity. You know, which is ironic because the world functions with a zero-sum game, and so they have limited quantity. Whereas God, who focuses on quality, he creates and makes entire universes. And galaxies, and I mean, yet in that his focus is on the what is real, what is the nature of that thing. You know, I when I was flying on the plane, I watched a movie. I think it's a new one out called The Social Network, and you know, it's about. It's about the founding of Facebook and how that happened. And they say, you know, at the end of it, they say, you know, 500 million people that are on there, and you know, and how much the company is worth. I think is like $25 billion, and all of that. And so, tons, quantity-wise, huge, tons of friends. Quality, not so much. I mean, how many people have such substandard, shoddy relationships? And even something like Facebook is for them, you know, that's they would consider that friendship. No, God intended for you to have real, quality friends. And in order for you to have a real friend, you got to be a real friend. In order for you to, you know, have something meaningful, you have to allow that to also become something manifest in you. You're not going to trick your way into that. You know, a buddy of mine in India one time told me years back when we were doing some missions there, he said, you know, whatever is manipulated to be created has to be manipulated to be sustained. And, you know, it's very true. You know, if you manipulate something, a perception, a deal, whatever, you're going to spend the rest of your life having to manipulate that thing to keep it going. Whereas when God creates, when God brings something together, he now has a requirement by his spirit to protect and to sustain that thing, to keep that together, to make that work, to prosper that. Not in the way the world would say prosper, but prosper in the way that he would say prosper. You know, scriptural prosperity is very different than the carnal, materialistic prosperity of the world. The world, again, it's they push for that so much. How do you know if you're prosperous? Well, how much money do you have? Whereas you can have all of that and be miserable and have zero. Whereas, you know, I pray that your soul prospers. You know, it's the need for the soul to, and that's a quality thing. You know, that's something where God will take you through a series and a set of life. And through the things that you experience, if you hold on to him, he will put quality in your soul. And that comes through the furnace of life. That comes through the testing of life. That comes through the difficult situations that we face. So, you know, it's something that... Yeah, oh, forgive me if I sound a little bit stuffed up. I am. Again, the joys of traveling. But, yeah, this, you know, God puts you through these different situations. For it's what creates the character in you that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's what reveals that. You know, that seed is planted. The seed of the word is planted in you. Christ in you is planted. And for the follower, what happens is they start walking after him. He said, in John 10, you know, my sheep know my voice, they won't follow another. So you follow him, and as you follow him, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. What in the world, Psalm 23, are you doing walking through the valley of the shadow of death? Well, you're following the Good Shepherd, who's leading and guiding you into all truth. And as you go through that, as he lays a table for you in the presence of your enemies, it's hard. It is hard. But he will not allow you to be tested and to be tempted beyond what you can withstand. He will not allow you to go through anything that he's always in control of that. And he desires that you would go through because he knows what he's doing with you. But he's always there. You know, you're under the watchful eye of the master potter. You're under the watchful eye of even as he's firing silver, you know, in the furnace. He's watching you continuously. He knows what's going on. He knows the trials that we face. He knows the difficulties that we're undergoing. And he's right there. You know, he's commanded his angels concerning us, concerning you, concerning me, that we would not strike our foot against the stone. And yet, in the middle of that, we're surrounded by many times very difficult, sometimes horrific situations. And outnumbered in the natural, but again, back to quality. In the realm of spirit, we always win. You know, that's one thing amazing about God's people. We do win. Even though that's something that God does, and it's not where we put our focus. Our focus is on obedience. You know, our focus is on walking with him, carrying out the instructions that the Spirit of God would give us to do. But the worlders, you know, they try so hard to win. Oh gosh, what does that mean? To win in this life, and they end up losing. They lose terribly. It's quite insane, actually, what the worlders do, because they strive to accumulate at the expense of each other. They destroy, bite, and devour each other. Then they get, and for the ones that get, then they want to hoard. Now they've got to protect it, you know, because they've got other people out there that they want to do the same thing to them, and they want to take from them. And so they just keep looking for more. And even as they get older, their children, which have, you know, not fallen very far from the apple tree, they, you know, producing after their own kind, they're looking to bite and devour. They can't wait for those guys to go into the grave just to get a hand on what they have. They want it. And so before most of those guys even end their lives, they know that those around them can't wait for them to die just so that they can get to what it is that they've hoarded for themselves. They live miserable, pathetic existences, and then go on from that into a Christless eternity. They go from that into hell. You know, hell is real. Hell is real. You know, I was listening to a tape recently when I was back in the States. Some of my old tapes, you know, those old school ones, and going through some boxes, cleaning out some stuff, and you know, I was listening to this one guy who's an evangelist there. He just said, yeah, Jesus spent more time talking about hell than he did about heaven. And, you know, I mean, I've got to check that one out, you know, but I believe it, you know, in the sense that it is a reality. And he's cautioning people, because people get the eternal repercussions of their choice. People get in themselves. You reap what you sow. You get back what you've put in. You get the eternal consequences of your choice. And so, you know, as people would want to be something in this world, as they sow to that, as they sow to their flesh, you sow to the flesh, you reap destruction. You know, I mean, it's... and it's something that, you know, when you've made those mistakes, when we've made those mistakes, repent, turn, align with the Spirit, and move on. But don't keep going in that direction. Don't go in a path that leads to your own destruction. Don't believe the lies of the world. You know, the world... Look, it should not be a surprise to you that the world and the world system and those that are part of it are liars. That shouldn't be a surprise. The devil is the father of all lies. So the fact that the devil is the father of all lies, his children are going to be a bunch of little liars anyways. And they will, for them to lie is nothing. I remember, you know, kind of back in the younger days when I would be dating and stuff. If a girl would tell a lie, if a girl would, like if I'd see a girl, you know, lying or, you know, what they would call even like a white lie, you know, something that's harmless in their own mind or whatever. Whoa, big red flag for me back then. Oh, today, absolutely, you know, there's no question, out, gone. Because, you know, for somebody that doesn't have a heart, when you have a heart for truth, you don't want that. You want to be straight. You want to be real. You don't want that to creep in, because those things, those are seeds that get planted, and they just continue to grow. You know, back to my buddy in India, you know, another thing he told me one time, he said, Govinda, he said, I am not smart enough to be a liar. He said, because, he said, when you lie, you have to constantly remember what you said last. And a lie builds on itself. So you keep, so it just keeps going from one to the next, to the next, to the next. And then, you know, pretty soon, and for him, he just said, look, I can't do that. I'm not smart enough. He said, but, he said, when you tell the truth, when you tell the truth, you never have to remember what you said last. It's true, and truth does not change. So, yeah, you know, it's absolutely. When you're a person of truth, hey, you don't have to remember what you said. The truth won't change. Whereas... the worlders, of course they lie. And of course it shouldn't be a surprise when they're caught in lies. You know, the funny thing though is to me is just that, you know, I don't understand why they want to be perceived as telling the truth. Why they want to be perceived as being credible. Why they would want to, why they work so, I mean, just, you know, be a murderer. Let everybody know that you're a murderer. Just, you know, I have more respect for somebody that is an outright, just that they are externally what they are internally. That there's no, you know, and they're evil to the core. You know, I have more respect for those than I do for these guys that pretend to be something externally. And within, they're ravenous wolves. Those are the ones that really are the bottom of the barrel for me. You know, really are the most despicable things walking around on this earth, because they're split, they're conflicted, they're not, you don't even know what you're getting with them. They don't even know what they're getting with them. They change, flip flop to and fro for whatever's expedient, politically, economically, manipulation wise. With others, I mean, they are the most pathetic within the human existence. So, you know, yeah, you know, I appreciate more just those that are who they say they are. And, you know, actually, and not just who they say they are, but they are who they are. You know, actually, you know, when you go into eternity, that's what is going to happen. See, when you go into eternity, oh, those birds are beautiful. Can you hear them in the background waking up? Yeah. When you go into eternity, the real you that is within, that is what will be manifest for all eternity. So the external layer, the body, the flesh that you're in, that will get stripped away, obviously. Everybody leaves their body when they leave this earth. And your soul and your spirit go on, and those two come into an eternal alignment with what they are, with what they truly are. And then, from there, you go on into eternity. So the righteous shine like stars. They're beautiful. They're amazing. And those that have gone within and those that have walked with the King, I mean, you've never seen beauty like that in this world. Hollywood, with all their nipping and tucking and cutting and pasting and Photoshop and whatever, you've never seen beauty like that which is eternal in those that are manifest as gods. And likewise, you've never seen ugliness in that which is eternal either, because it's the other extreme. Oh gosh, horrific. When that which is within is manifest to without. You know, actually, I've kind of noticed something. Even as people get older, you begin to see elements of that. If they've got bitterness within, if they've held on to unforgiveness and anger and served the world, it just sort of twists their face. They just have that look. Just their face is, there's something not right there. And likewise, for those that have allowed the joy of the Lord to be their strength and they serve Him, there's just that peace on their face and their eyes. They just glow with the presence of God. It's a beautiful thing. The worlders have their sheen from their rituals, which wears off, and they got to keep doing it. Pump up that tire, fill up that gas tank, whereas we just flow with the Spirit of God, and His presence shines in and through our lives. So, it's just beautiful. You know what? This is the best game in town, is to follow Christ. That's it. That's the only thing that's out there. And you seek Him, you love Him, you walk with Him, He'll take care of you. You're going to be all right. If you reject it, you do so to your own eternal peril. You do so to your own eternal hurt. And you, in yourself, bear the eternal consequences for your actions. And you won't be able to argue your way out of it. You won't be able, there won't even really be a discussion. You just go there and you know it for all eternity that is your eternal consequence. It's a frightful story. The rich man and Lazarus, where the rich man is begging for just a drop of water to be put on his tongue, but it's not to be had. And, you know, because the names of the wicked are blotted out, you know, scriptures do not record that man's name. So, because the scriptures are consistent, the scriptures are true. And so, but Jesus tells a direct story so people would understand. Lazarus is comforted. Lazarus goes on to be with the Father. Whereas those that said no to Christ, those that rejected truth, those that rejected Him, they go on into a Christless eternity with the consequences for their actions. And you know, it's amazing. He, from the grave, was begging from hell, was begging that somebody would go back and speak to his brothers. I can't remember if it was four or five, but to go back and to tell them not to come to that place, because he knew the path that his brothers were on, and he knew that if they did not make a change, they would end up in that same place with him, and he didn't want that. There's no camaraderie in hell. There's no party. There's no good time. It is just eternal, ongoing, non-stop suffering on a level that is unimaginable to the human mind. You know, of the little tiny moments of suffering that I may have experienced in my own life, nothing of that compares to just a glimpse of what hell is like. And that lasts for all eternity. It is a frightful thing. It's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. That's why scriptures also say, don't fear him that can kill the body, but rather fear him who, after the body is killed, can cast your soul into hell. You know, fear him. Oh gosh, if you realize what you should really fear and what you should not, changes the way you live this life. Absolutely. See, that's why for me, I have zero problem, zero issue going toe-to-toe with anyone out there, because they're just men. Some of them, empowered by very strong demonic forces, but still just men. And the authority of Christ trumps all of that. And I fear the Lord, Jesus Christ. I fear Him, because I also know, seeing a shadow, a window, a glimpse of what He can do if He so chooses. And it is amazing, awful, dreadful, powerful. I tell you, I'm on the winning team. So for me, it's not an issue. I want to walk with Him. I want to do that which He would have for me to do. I want to fulfill the purpose and the plan that He has for His people, that He has for me, that He has for you. I would love to see God fulfill His plan and purpose in your life. I would love, at the close of this journey, though many of us will probably never meet each other in person, I would love at the close of this journey to meet you on the other side and to give you a massive hug and to share and to know what it is that God did in and through the lives that we lived here, the abundant life that God allowed us to live as we walked with and trusted Him. I would love that for you. And I look forward to that with so many. So, yeah. But in that process, we all have our place. We've been put and placed in the body as the Spirit of God would have us to be there. And, go for it. Go for it. God knows what He's doing with you. He loves you, and you can trust Him. So, you know, that walk of faith is just simply one step of faith after another, one step of trust after another. You can trust Him. And, you know, you don't have to worry. Kind of back to some of the things I said, you know, the other day when we were driving. Do be mindful of your life and your circumstance and the things around you. Don't just let life happen to you as such. Don't let the world tighten the noose around you. It's really trying very hard, but it does require a degree of cooperation from you. And, you know, make efforts to separate yourself from that, to break those cycles and those loops so that they don't have and they can't put a lock on your mind. You have to do some of that for yourself. Unplug from the computer, switch off the TV, read a book. Good books at cornerstone-unlimited.com. Absolutely. Check with them. Seriously. They have the best stuff as far as things that will help you, that will help you to walk out this abundant life that God intends for you. So, yeah, we're in a good way. We really are. And I just pray for you right now. Lord, I just pray for my brothers and my sisters in Christ. Lord, I just pray for strength, for peace, Lord, for sustaining in the journey at hand. I pray, Lord God, that your people, Father, would be quick in this day, Lord, to not see things the way the world sees them, but to see things through your eyes, Lord, and to realize that in all things you are in control, and we can trust you, Father. So we love you, Father. We put our lives into your hands and into your care. And we know, Father, that that which we need is taken care of by you. And you have all things in control. We love you, Father. And we go on in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hey, all right, so love you. And I'll catch up with you again sometime soon. All right, God bless you. Bye. And hey, good, amazing job to those of you that are with us in this thing, that are chipping in, that are praying. Love you guys, seriously. It's a blessing to us, and you're doing this for other people. So anyways, I'm not going to say a lot about it, but love you guys. All right, so talk to you sometime soon. God bless you. Bye.